If you'll turn back in God's Word to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're thinking this morning, or drawing our attention this morning, to one verse in particular. Verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Assurance of salvation. How do I know that I am saved? I plan, God willing, to preach two sermons on this important topic. One reason for taking this as our subject is because I've been asked to speak on assurance elsewhere. In September time, I've been asked to do two talks on assurance. So I've been preparing and working on this material. But another reason, and more importantly, as I've been studying this, I've been struck more and more with the relevance of assurance. The pastoral need of assurance in our own context. Assurance of salvation. It's something that most Christians struggle with. We struggle with it at different points in our lives. Perhaps that's you this morning. Or maybe you've come through a period of doubting. Most of us have faced, or we will face, the question, am I really a Christian? Some Christians and some other religious groups, they would say that we can't really have assurance. There is no way to know whether we are saved or not. And we may even end up in conversations with some of these people. And so we need to know how to answer them, but we also need to know how to answer this question for ourselves. How do you know for sure that you are saved? How do you know that you are going to heaven when you die? Can we be sure? These are important questions. And so we turn this morning to the first letter of John. And one of John's purposes in writing this letter is to bring assurance to these Christians. And throughout his letter, he's going to be pointing them to solid truths. Truths and promises that are grounded in reality. Very quickly, we're going to do a quick sweep of 1 John. Look at how his letter begins. Chapter 1, verse 1. There is a truth that has been seen and heard and touched. John is saying that there is a reality that is grasped. That there's a definite truth. That there's a concrete reality in the gospel. There's confident promises that have been made. And John is saying, I have heard, I have seen, I have even reached out and touched. Their words of assurance. Chapter 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. We may know that we are in him. This is assurance. There is a way to know. Chapter 2, verse 21. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, because you know it. You know it. There is a truth that can be known. There is a truth that can be held. There is a truth that is certain. It's assurance. Look at verse 28 and 29 of chapter 2. When Christ appears, we may have confidence. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure. There it is again. assurance, confidence, and certainty in a truth. Chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of Him, of God. And so we are. That's assurance. And so we are. Verse 2 of chapter 3. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Assurance. Verse 19 of chapter 3. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. It's assurance. There are things that we can know. There are things that we can be sure of. Chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us. Verse 17. We may have confidence for the day of judgment. There it is again, assurance of salvation. And then chapter 5, verse 13. And this is the verse that I want us to look at this morning. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Friends, this morning I am saying to you, it is possible for you to have assurance. There is a way for you to know that you are saved. There is a way that you can be absolutely sure that you are in Christ. When you leave here this morning, you can walk out this door knowing that you have eternal life. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Isn't that a wonderful promise that you can have today? There is assurance. And this is an important truth for us to consider pastorally. And that's why I want to look at assurance in two sermons. We could look at it in many, many more. But I want to look at it in two sermons this week and then in a couple of weeks' time. This morning we're thinking about the grounds for our assurance, or the foundation for our assurance. Our assurance, it isn't based on fanciful ideas. Our assurance, it isn't some sort of vague hope, but it has a firm foundation. There's a solid base on which it stands. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. What is the firm foundation on which we have assurance of salvation? Very simply, it's the promises of God. If you leave here today with that in your mind, then you've done well. The sure and certain promises of God are our assurance. But to answer the question more fully, I want us, first of all, to ask, well, what is assurance? What is assurance? Assurance is not faith. It's not faith. There's a difference between saving faith and assurance. To say, I am going to heaven, it's not the same as being someone who is going to heaven. Some people have false assurance. Some people believe that by their good works, by going to church, by being nice people, by reading the Bible, by being baptized, by not hurting anyone, some people believe and have an assurance that because of these things, they're going to heaven. But that's false assurance. So assurance is not the same thing as saving faith. True faith, true saving faith is realizing that we are guilty before a holy God. True faith is seeing that God the Father sent God the Son. And that God the Son, Jesus Christ, came to earth. True faith is knowing that He willingly gave His life. That He willingly went to the cross. That He willingly suffered and died for us. True faith is knowing that this Jesus Christ was punished because of our sin, because of our rebellion. True faith is a gift from God. It's a faith that causes us to turn to God, trusting and believing in Christ, asking for forgiveness. That is saving faith. Saving faith is not the same thing as assurance. Some people can have false assurance. Some people believe they are going to heaven, but they have never come to Christ. Some people are convinced that they will be in eternity, and yet they have no saving faith. Assurance is not faith. Then assurance is also not security. Assurance is not security. When we trust in Jesus Christ, our eternal salvation is secure. We have eternal security in Christ Jesus. We can't lose our salvation. We can't lose saving faith. We can't lose eternal life. There is a security that Christians possess. Now, some people struggle to believe that. Some Christians keep asking, will God really hold on to me? At the end of the day, will I really be in heaven? Will I really be with Him? What if at the end God decides I just wasn't good enough? But the truth is that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is the truth. God will not let us go. When we are in Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is security. And yet at times we can doubt it. Just because we doubt it, doesn't mean we don't have it. Just because we lack assurance, it doesn't mean that our eternal security isn't in place. Assurance isn't security. Just because someone is more assured of their salvation, it doesn't mean that their eternal life is more secure. Assurance, it isn't saving faith. Assurance isn't eternal security. But assurance is the confident realization of faith and security. Assurance is knowing that we have saving faith. Assurance is knowing that we are eternally secure in Christ. It's being convinced of these truths in our heart and mind. It's Paul's statement at the beginning of Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am sure of this. Assurance is 1 John 5, verse 13. You may know you have eternal life. It is possible for us to know. It is possible for us to be sure, it is possible for us to be certain that we are in Christ. And yet we can doubt it. We can struggle with these truths. But struggling with these truths will never take away the promises. Just because we doubt the promises doesn't mean that they're not real and concrete and firm. Hopefully by this time tomorrow, Laura and I will have flown in the air in a huge hunk of metal. I don't understand it. I've flown many times before, but it doesn't make any sense to me. It shouldn't work. It just shouldn't stay up there. A piece of metal should fall to the ground. That doesn't take away from the reality of the physics. My doubting when I get on the plane, it doesn't mean that the plane will suddenly come crashing to the ground. I may lack assurance. I may have doubts as to why that thing can stay up there and go across the sea. But it doesn't remove the reality of the physics. It doesn't remove the reality that at a certain speed and because of the shape of the wings and airflow, a plane stays up. I may lack assurance, but it doesn't take away from reality. It doesn't take away from the truth. It doesn't take away from what is fixed and set and concrete. Assurance, very simply, is knowing and understanding the facts and being at peace with these facts. Assurance is that confident realization that we are in Christ. We have eternal life in Christ, that we are secure in Christ. These facts will not change if we are Christians. Assurance, as the Westminster Confession of Faith says in chapter 18, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus, they may in this life be certainly assured that they are in the state of grace, and they may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This hope shall never make them ashamed. Assurance is a confident realization of what we have in Christ. We may know for certain that we have eternal life. What is assurance? And then secondly, the foundation of our assurance. The foundation of our assurance. John writes, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. What are these things that John has written? Well, if you look back at verse 11, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The foundation for knowing, this basis for knowing and for being certain, it's found in what God has done. And specifically for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The foundation, it isn't based on ourselves. The foundation for being assured, it's grounded in the truth that God gives eternal life. And that this life is found in Christ. The foundation doesn't come from a feeling inside us. It doesn't come from thinking, I'm doing really well as a Christian. I've been really good this week. Assurance comes from and is based on the promises that God has made in His Word concerning Jesus Christ and salvation in Christ. Again, going back to the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 18. It speaks of an infallible assurance of faith founded upon the divine truth of the promises of salvation. It's founded on, it's based on the promises of salvation. If you're a Christian, you can be sure that you're saved because of what God promises in His Word. What does He promise? Well, it's the covenant of redemption in Jesus Christ. It's that eternal plan of salvation that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit had before the creation of the world. That plan of God to save a people for Himself, even before the world was made. That plan of God that chose you. That plan of God that set you apart. That plan of God that sent Jesus Christ to this earth. That plan of God that made Christ live out that perfect life that we can't live. That plan of God that brought Him to the cross. That plan of God where Jesus Christ, the perfect one, paid the price for sin. And this isn't just some vague price that was paid. This was a real price. A price paid for the reality of our sins, for actual sins. Christ was really taking the punishment for those things that we have really done. They're solid and concrete things that have happened. And Christ has accomplished salvation. It's not that He makes salvation possible. I know sometimes I say salvation is possible through Christ. In one sense, yes. But in the other sense, that's wrong. It's because Christ has accomplished it. He has done it. It's secure. It's a reality. It's an actual event that has occurred. And God, in His wonderful sovereign care, in His wonderful predestination of love, has called us to Himself. They are things that have happened. They are promises that have been made. Our assurance, it's not based on how we feel from day to day. I feel like a Christian today, therefore I must be a Christian. That's not where assurance comes from. Assurance comes from looking at the promises of God in Scripture, knowing that they are for us. This is for me. Christ has died for me. He's been raised from the dead for me. Our sin is dealt with in Christ. We are forgiven in Christ. We are declared righteous in Christ. We've been made right before God the Father. You're a Christian. You're sitting here this morning. You sit here as someone who is justified, made right before the Father in heaven. We've been adopted as His children, as sons and daughters in His family. We have an eternal inheritance kept for us in heaven. These are the facts. These are the solid truths. This is the testimony, as John says. This is the testimony of God in His Word. A real, lasting difference has been made in your life because of Christ. That there's no vagueness about salvation. There are no perhaps or maybes. His word bears testimony. Do you see that salvation, that assurance of salvation, it's not based on our feelings. Our feelings can change. We are fickle people. One day we can be happy. The next day, and sometimes for no apparent reason, we can be sad. Some days we can be sure of things. Other days we can be uncertain and unsure. We are fickle. We change so much. But God's promises do not change. Salvation doesn't change. Eternal security doesn't change. Our confidence is based on the promises that God has made. And if you have come to Christ, then you are His. Our confidence and assurance isn't even based on how we are doing. We stumble. We falter. We sin. Doesn't change the promises that God has made. How do we know that we are saved? Well, first and foremost, we know because God has told us in His Word, for all who come to Christ, for all who seek forgiveness from God, there is eternal salvation. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Assurance, it is founded on the Word of God and the promises of salvation, this covenant of redemption in Christ. Then thirdly, and finally and briefly, I want to think of a couple of further evidences for our assurance. Further evidences for our assurance. Going back again to the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 18. You should all have a Westminster Confession of Faith. If you don't, try to get one. If you do, read it this afternoon. Read chapter 18 on assurance. A wonderful chapter. And it gives two more supporting evidences for our assurance. It talks about the inward evidence of grace and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The inward evidence of grace. As I said, we don't base our assurance on our feelings. That they're based on realities, on firm foundations. But there are these two supporting evidences for our assurance. And firstly, this inward evidence of grace. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. As those who are in Christ, we desire to obey Him. We have a desire to follow Him. We want to be obedient. We know we're not perfect. We know that we all still fall into sin. We are not as obedient as we can be. The fruit of the Spirit isn't as well developed within us as we would like. We were thinking about that last Lord's Day evening. That's why I've included this as a further evidence. Our assurance comes from firm truths. But also, there's further evidence that God has given, and it's when we see the work of Christ in our lives. When we see Christ in us. Now here we're not looking at our own goodness. We're not looking at ourselves and saying, well done me, look at how good I was today, I must be a Christian. That's not inward grace. It's looking at our lives and saying, this is Christ in me. This change in my life, it's been brought about by grace, by Christ dwelling in me. The reason why I want to obey God is because of Christ in me. I can see Christ working as I desire to be at worship. I can see Christ working as I desire to follow God, even though I fall so many times. There is a sign of being saved, and it's this inward grace. It's not the foundation of our assurance. It's in God's promises, but there's a further evidence. Christ working in us. Loving Christ and loving His people, as John talks about. The second piece of supporting evidence is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. How can we know that we are saved? Well, God says so in His Word. And God has given us His Spirit to testify to us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Phil Dunwoody has been preaching about the Holy Spirit over the last couple of weeks. And it's this Spirit that testifies to our hearts and testifies with our hearts. There's something within us that when they hear these words, we are saying, Amen. There's something within us that is stirred up and warmed and excited when we hear about the promises of God. What is it? It's the Spirit in us testifying. It's the Spirit in us that makes us cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit within us that understands our groans and our moanings. The Holy Spirit warms our hearts to these truths. He makes our hearts say Amen to what we hear. Now, there are days when we can be cold spiritually. There are days when we feel like we're forgotten. Days when we feel discouraged. Days when we can doubt. But we know that when we come to the Word of God, when we hear the promises, when we listen to the truth of eternal life, something within us does stir. Even that faint glimmer of hope and love for Christ, where does it come from? The Spirit within us. It's not the foundation of our assurance. That's the promises of God. But it's a further evidence. God has graciously given us His Spirit that points us to Christ, that testifies to these promises, that directs us to the concrete truths of salvation. That's why when we pray, we can cry out to God, Father, the Spirit testifying to us. Assurance is the certainty that I have eternal life. Assurance is the certainty that if I die today, I will be with the Lord. And this assurance, it doesn't come from ourselves. It's not based on our feelings, on our actions. It's founded firmly in the Word of God. God says we are forgiven when we are in Christ. God has promised that if we turn to Him, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christ Himself said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Our assurance is based on this covenant of redemption, the promises that God makes in His Word. And yet God graciously lets us see grace being worked out in our lives. He's given us the Spirit to prompt us and remind us. In a couple of weeks, I want, God willing, to look at growing in assurance. But before then, I want you to go to God's Word. Read the promises. Let them assure you. And if you're not a Christian, or if you're doubting, go to God. Confess your sin. Put your trust in Christ. And be assured that for all who are in Christ, to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. Amen.